This week in Near Parents Spaceman, we are ripping off our shirts and cleaning up the streets of Metro City as we play Final Fight by Capcom for the arcade and Super Nintendo. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the co-host who wants to save his girlfriend to put a baby inside of her. It's Huell Hauser.
Mayor Mike Hager, a former Street Fighter, has vowed to track down and arrest every member of the Mad Gear Gang.
Yeah, he's tough on crime. And there are other co-hosts. There isn't anything he likes more than beating up a woman. In a video game, it's Todd Brisket.
This is the best game on Super Nintendo that has two dudes about to kiss on the cover.
It does.
Yeah. Best game since Mario and Luigi Explore Feelings. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We want to purchase all of our favorite hip-hopping CDs after our Pa Rappa show last week. This week's game is Final Fight from 1989 and 1991. Originally intended as a Street Fighter sequel in 1989, the name was changed by Capcom to Final Fight after feedback from arcade operators. It's a side-scrolling beat-em-up similar to the Double Dragon series, but with much larger characters in that distinctive Capcom art style. The arcade version came out in 1989 with a Super Nintendo port hitting American shores in 1991. The Super Nintendo version is mostly faithful to the original, but there's a limit on the number of characters on the screen, and there's no two-player co-op, unfortunately. Also, some of the characters are simped right out, which I'm sure we'll get into during the show. Todd, you nominated this game for coverage this week, so why don't you share some memories of it first?
Sure, yeah. This game here is what I like to call the Streets of Rage for the Super Nintendo. Not quite as good as Streets of Rage, though. That's the issue with this one.
Though.
The Streets of Rage, but not quite as good as Streets of Rage.
Did Streets of Rage have a porn-stashed mayor as its star?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Well, and I guess we know which one's
yeah,
better.
Yeah, Mayor Mike Hager. He also, including being a former professional wrestler
And Street Fighter.
And Street Fighter. He also started the Hager Pants Company. He makes
right.
a hefty profit on khakis nowadays.
Yeah, I think he flipped his fame defeating the Mad Gear Gang into a clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I played this game a few times on the old Super Nintendo, but the thing is, when I was a kid, the thing about this game is that I had a few siblings, and we like to play games together. And this game, the port from the arcade, was only single player.
Yes.
Which was a huge disappointment.
Yeah, that seems crazy. I don't know if it was like system limitations or what, but this is like tailor-made for co-op beat-em-up.
Yeah. This is why we put much more time in on Streets of Rage than this one.
At least according to Wikipedia, it was system limitations because also in the arcade version I think has like up to 10 enemies and people that can be on the screen at one time.
Sounds horrifying.
Yeah, it sounds much tougher, and it is a tougher game, but the sound kind of sounds so much tinnier on the arcade version. Like it almost sounds shrill. I tried to play it and I switched to the Super Nintendo version after about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I can kind of see why the Super Nintendo might be a little limited. The graphics are very clear and crisp and detailed.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you've got some huge sprites, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not sarcasm for the listener. This is a very well-designed, I guess art design is pretty good in this game.
You feel like you're in Metro City.
Right. I feel like I've moved in months ago. I've settled down. I know where everything is. Mm-hmm. I know the mayor. And now I really know the mayor.
Yeah.
After playing this.
Yeah. Now, it's weird, though, Todd. You mentioned Streets of Rage. And I found this out because I was playing this game and my girlfriend saw it and said, oh, that looks like Streets of Rage. Streets of Rage came after this game.
It sure did, yeah.
Well,
I'm not saying I put my time in as soon as this came out. We got our Super Nintendo around 93, 94, so.
Oh, yeah, no, this came out after the arcade version. Well, Streets of Rage was, I think, Genesis only. I don't think there was an arcade version. It came out 2 years after the arcade original and a couple months after the NES port, the Super NES port. I don't know. To me, definitely the biggest difference is the huge characters. Also compared to Double Dragon. Like Double Dragon's the other obvious influence here. But again, the characters in Final Fight are just so much more. Like vibrant and cartoonish, kind of like the art style is kind of similar to Street Fighter 2. So you can kind of see why they were the same game series at one point, or thought to be the same game series.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to correct you on that there. Yeah, so they when they were creating this game, they were creating it as its own game itself, and mm-hmm. because of the popularity of Street Fighter at the time, they're like, oh, let's rename it to Street Fighter 89 or something like that. But then they decided this game's so good that it needs to start out on its own, be its own series. So it wasn't really intended to be a sequel, but it kind of is the same universe.
Well, the thing is, like, at least according to Wikipedia, according to the creator, the sales division of Capcom originally requested a Street Fighter sequel, so his team decided to promote Final Fight as a Street Fighter sequel at trade shows. The title was changed to Final Fight before its official release after feedback from arcade operators saying that the game was nothing like Street Fighter.
Pretty much.
I'm saying it has the same kind of art style. It's got like a harder edge. Like this is the other big influence is clearly like 1980s movies like Escape from New York and that kind of stuff.
It's that dilapidated city, that 80s rundown city that's only full of white people, but they're all like gang members.
Yeah.
And inexplicable Native Americans, it seems. In the game, anyway.
Oh, what was the Native American in this game?
The dude that chucked knives. And wore, leather garb and stuff. He looked like a painting of a Native American.
Oh, well, I think...
Are you talking about El Gato?
It wasn't specifically El Gato. There was a different guy that was, like, a lesser enemy. Possibly.
Yeah, well, one of them, I think, is an Indian gentleman.
Right.
A Native American?
But they're, yes.
That's what I said.
Oh, no. I mean Indian as in from India.
Oh.
Like one of the knife throwers. But there is another. And there's also a guy with, feathers in his head that, blocks all of your attacks, too. I think, Axel or Sid Vicious or one of those guys.
Yeah, the feather guy, I think, is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
So he had, the clothes with the tassels on him. The stereotypical Indian native garb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm digging myself into a hole here. Let's move on. wouldn't be the first time.
Well, listen, we should probably just plow right ahead to the fact that many of the characters you beat up in this game are quite stereotypical and or flamboyant.
There is some flamboyance for sure.
Yes.
I did like that they all had names.
Yeah, I do have a list of names. This is from the arcade, though. So there's some crossover, but they have a list if you want to go through them real quick.
Of course.
You got... let's start out with the first stage, the basic thugs. You got Bread.
Bread.
Doug.
That was my favorite.
Doug. Jake. Mm-hmm. Simons. Jay. 2P. Roxy. Poison. Graham Oribur. Bill. Bill Bull. Wong. Mm. Wong Hu. He's an Asian fellow.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Axel Slash from Guns N' Roses.
Yes.
Yep.
Hollywood. Another Hollywood. Elgato.
Yes.
Andore. Is it Andor or Andore?
I think it's I don't know.
It's Andre the Giant, but...
It is Andre the Giant.
So, Andore. And Andore Jr. And Father Andore. And Uncle Andore, and Grandpa Andore.
So many.
And those are just the basic thugs. Then we have the bosses. The first stage boss in round one, the slums. In the arcade, his name is Damned. Damned.
Mm-hmm. That is a bad word.
On the Super Nintendo, where they did some censorship, he becomes Thrasher.
Yes, a big blonde bully. Thrasher controls the slums of Metro City.
He has dreadlocks.
He's not much of a fighter, but when he whistles, people listen.
It's weird because he looks like kind of non-human to me. Like I thought he was like
he's like from Battlefield Earth, the aliens. John Travolta.
Yes, exactly.
he's a like a crappy Predator clone or something.
Yeah.
So during his boss battle, he does whistle, and then various minor thugs come out to fight you.
Yeah, and he sits on a ledge, so you can't possibly attack him at that point.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Stage two subway boss is in the arcade. His name is Sodom. And of course, that is too risque for the Super Nintendo, so he was renamed to Katana, because he has katana swords.
Mm-hmm. Very creative.
Yep.
Okay.
That was a tough fight.
Yes.
That's where I tapped out in my playthrough.
Oh, so then you didn't get to, right after that stage, the bonus round, where you beat up somebody's, you beat up Bread's car.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you smash his car.
Now I'm disappointed.
You have 30 seconds to destroy his cars. It's just like in Street Fighter 2. This has spread throughout Capcom fighting games.
Destroy someone's car?
Yeah. And then after you finish beating up their car, you get bonus points for doing this. After you finish beating up Bread's car, Bread comes out from the side of the screen, and in the arcade he says, "Oh my god!" And then on the Super Nintendo, he says, "Oh my car!" Because... Yeah. God is too risque again. You can't have any religious themes in the Super Nintendo.
No. Separation of game and church.
Mm-hmm.
It was a law.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the bonus round, you go to round three, which is the West Side. It's called West Side.
Ooh.
And the boss of this stage is Eddie E., who is a stripper policeman.
Yep.
Classic. We all know one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think the instruction manual or a Super Nintendo player's guide I had back in the day mentioned that he is pretending to be a police officer.
What?
Well, the manual that I have here says Eddie E is a security guard gone bad. Eddie E controls the West Side territory with an iron fist. But watch out, he's got a gun and he's not afraid to use it.
Yeah, I think two characters in this game have guns, even though you're fighting like a violent street gang. And yeah, I believe he's one of them.
And I also think most security guards do not have guns.
Nope.
Well, he's a bad boy. Bad security guard.
Yeah. He's a security guard gone bad. What are we to do?
And the next stage is one that did not make it to the Super Nintendo port. It's called the Industrial Area. And in that one, guess what? You're walking around on conveyor belts and on catwalks. And the boss of this stage is Rolento, who has made appearances in other Capcom games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He works hard. He plays hard.
Works hard, plays hard. And the next stage is the Bay Area. And the boss of this one is Abigail. Oh. Abigail. Oh. It's a beautiful name. Beautiful name. With a name like Abigail, he's got to be tough. And this brawny bruiser is just waiting to bowl you over in the Bay Area. He's 6'8", 280 pounds. He's it's a professional wrestler. And by the way, this is Abigail the man.
Yes.
Yes.
And Bay is spelled B-A-E.
Yes.
This is the Bay Area.
And the final stage is Uptown.
Of course.
Because, I mean, this game mirrors real life. This game is like, and it's, I don't know how they predicted this back in 1989, but this mirrors the presidential election of 2016. This is all about Trump rising from the low slums and rising all the way to the top to be
right.
The new boss.
Taking matters into his own hands. Mm-hmm. Destroying the competition one by one and climbing the ranks.
He's draining that swamp in Metro City.
Mm-hmm. Draining those slums.
All right, so in round six, Uptown, the final boss of the game is a paraplegic named,
Hillary Clinton.
Named Belger.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Although he's not a paraplegic for long.
He's not. As soon as... This is about Hagger and Cody and Guy, how they are they're ultimately miracle workers. They break his wheelchair and he starts walking and jumping around. He sees the light.
I believe. He played Parappa. He's gotta believe. Yeah, the whole plot here is Hagger's daughter has been kidnapped by the Mad Gear Gang. And you get to the end, and what's his name?
Belger.
Belger has her strewn across his wheelchair. It's very creepy.
Uh-huh. And he also has a machine gun or something, by the way.
Right, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks, like a harpoon gun, but it shoots out machine gun bullets.
Yeah. He's the only other guy smart enough to, you know, bring a weapon.
They do sort of look like harpoons. That he shoots, I thought.
Oh, maybe it is a harpoon gun. Unlimited ammo, fast reloading harpoon gun.
Right. I mean, this is the Mad Gear Gang. I mean, they're not gonna skimp on the technology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
Isn't this very similar to what was that game we played? Oh, Die Hard. Die Hard. Where you have to fight your way through wave after wave. Except for this one takes place over an entire city. Die Hard takes place only inside Nakatomi Plaza, but very similar.
Well, yes. No fountains in this one, so...
No fountains, yeah.
Disappointingly.
No killer fountains or fire trucks.
But you're out to rescue somebody's daughter from a creepy old guy.
Yeah, It's Hagger's daughter and Cody's girlfriend.
Yeah, that surprised me that his partner was boning his daughter. That was kind of weird.
Well, it's also weird because they're like... Cody apparently after this game goes bad at some point. Because he
gets more?
Yeah, he gets arrested and he goes to jail or something.
What?
There's another game? Yeah.
Well, there's...
Is this in the expanded universe?
Oh,
There's multiple sequels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's sequels, and it's also he pops up as a character in the Street Fighter series. His next major appearance was in 1998's Street Fighter Alpha 3, being the fourth Final Fight character to appear in the Alpha subseries. In this game, Cody has ended his relationship with Jessica, who has since left Metro City to study abroad in Europe, and become a convicted felon, having been thrown into jail after becoming a vigilante.
Oh. So he was really trying to do good.
But, yeah, he's an anti-hero. Yeah.
Well, bored with his peaceful life, Cody had wandered the streets looking for any riffraff he could find, and subsequently beat them into submission until he was finally caught and jailed.
Well, let's see. That makes sense.
Well, you know, when you have a good guy, you want to turn him bad.
Well, that's not really bad. That's just like, that's walking the line between black and white. He's in the gray, man. Who can blame him after all he's seen? Come on. Good guy, Brick.
Yeah, and so anyway.
That's what he's
I didn't know you had more. Sorry. Go on, Todd.
Well, I just had, so Todd, two questions here. Is it weird that all of the enemies, you fight like 15 Brads and 15 Elgatos in the course of this game?
Oh,
does that
yeah, I
they just all have the same name, or like,
well, it's their, are you it's just their rank the in the Mad Gear gang, you have a rank. You start out in the rank of Bread. You move up to Simons, and you move up to J. Eventually, you're up in the middle management of Elgato. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I killed Doug like 15 times.
Well, Doug,
he wasn't having
Doug's
it.
It's annoying.
Yeah. when I was playing this, oh, go ahead.
My other statement was. Two characters get their characters changed from the arcade to the Super Nintendo version.
Is that a question?
Did you know about that, Todd?
Well, I know there's a couple of very beautiful people in this game.
Mm-hmm.
There's one before you get to this one. In the arcade version, there's two kind of dark-skinned Breads.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to be a little diverse in the arcade, the Metro City. In the Super Nintendo version, they lightened their skin up.
Mm.
They were. It stays mostly white out in Metro City on the Super Nintendo.
Well, really, that's progressive, because you don't want to be beating up minorities.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing is you don't want to be beating up minorities. Another thing is you don't want to be beating up the paraplegics and the handicapped. So in the Super Nintendo version, they change Belger's wheelchair into just like a little like scooter thing.
Oh.
he's not really in the wheelchair. He's just taking a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last
he earned his place. He can sit down for a while.
And the last piece of information to be culturally sensitive, Roxy and Poison, the beautiful, beautiful ladies, I'll call them ladies, it was determined that in America, we don't like beating up women, so they were changed into transvestites.
Oh, that's better.
So instead of being women beaters, we are committing hate crimes.
Well, worse hate crimes. What are their names? Are their names still Roxy and whatever?
They're still Roxy and Poison. There's some version, I forgot, it might be the Super Nintendo one, where they actually changed the sprites out and changed them into dudes.
Yeah, I think Roxy and Poison are still in like the American arcade version. And then it's for the Super Nintendo, they changed them into Sid and Billy, and they're kind of a punk guys like Sid Vicious and Billy Idol.
So look, I don't care what you got between your legs. You lay your hand on me, then all bets are off.
Mm.
That's the way I roll.
You only see threats. You don't see genders.
I have to quickly assess the threat in front of me.
Yeah.
Take my shirt off, put my suspenders on, go to town.
You do like an ocular assessment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
An ocular pat-down.
Ocular pat-down. Ocular pat-down. Yeah. Precisely.
All right. Yeah. That's a good good thing to have, that ability.
Yeah.
So
comes in handy.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think I've mentioned this is a fun game. I like this game.
Yeah, we never really did cover that part. This is very we kind of went right into the crazy story and characters, but
this is a solid beat 'em up. This is one of the best, better games on the Super Nintendo of all time.
As an example of beat 'em ups, this is at the top.
If you don't have friends, it's a great game to get since you can only play single player.
So if you're afraid to go into a beat 'em up because you think, I need more than one guy, this is the game that'll solve those problems.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though there are two characters to choose from. Only one player.
And that is one other thing of contention, is the fact that the original Final Fight, the arcade, has three characters.
Oh, my.
The third is Guy, who is who is Cody's best friend, who is training to become a ninja, of course.
No, they all have their different pros and cons.
Fighting styles?
Fighting styles, yeah. Because Hagger, he's a wrestler. He has power, mm-hmm. he's kind of slow, but he has a pile driver that'll kill anybody, break anybody, any thug's neck. Then you have Cody, who is a streetwise punk fighter, and he is able to hold on to knives and use them indefinitely. That's his skill.
Oh.
He's the all-around fighter. And then you have his man friend Guy, who is a ninja, so he's very quick, very zippy.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there is actually a Super Nintendo version that has Guy in it, and it's called Final Fight Guy.
Is it really?
But it was, yeah, it is.
Final Fight Guy? Is the name of this game?
Yes.
That is awesome.
It is exceedingly rare, though. It only had a limited run. So really, I've only ever seen it in ROM form. I've never seen a copy of the game itself floating out there.
That's why you couldn't play it.
It was released in June 1994 as a rental-only game that was initially available at Blockbuster stores.
Whoa. Yeah,
although later given a limited release.
Yep. And if you manage to find it around now, it is $230 for the cart.
And expensive guy.
Yep, $275 if you have the box and cart and manual.
Hmm.
Talk a little bit about the history here, since I kind of segued into it. The original Final Fight was followed by two sequels for the Super Nintendo in 1993 and 1995, and a weird spin-off game for the NES, Mighty Final Fight, that kind of made it like a beat-em-up in RPG. Like you gained experience points and moves, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was like River City Ransom.
Yeah, yeah. And they also really changed the art style to more like a River City Ransom, too. The sequels got decent reviews, but were basically seen as more of the same for the series. Then came Final Fight Streetwise for the PlayStation 2 and Xbox in 2006. Let me read the basic description from Wikipedia. Final Fight Streetwise is a 3D beat-em-up game. The story mode, which is exclusively single-player, has 10 mini-games, including cockroach stomping, arm wrestling, slide puzzles, shooting contests, and a classic car bash. Unsurprisingly, the game was widely panned. However, according to Wikipedia, the series has been fairly successful overall, with 3.1 million copies sold. Several characters also pop up again in the various Capcom versus fighting games and the Street Fighter Alpha series, since there is crossover from the Capcom development teams. basically the Final Fight team, they stopped making these games in like 1995 for all intents and purposes, and they're now on the fighting game teams. One final note, pretty much all the games except for the crappy PlayStation and Xbox ones are now worth good money. The original goes for $15, but the Super Nintendo sequels are $41 and $78 respectively. Final Fight Guy for the Super Nintendo, as we discussed, is worth $230, and that quirky NES game, Mighty Final Fight, is $171. So,
yeah, from what I hear, I've never played it, but Mighty Final Fight is the best in the series, gameplay wise. That's what I hear.
it seems to contradict what I just heard from Steve.
I have played it once. I thought it was okay, but it's not anything special. Like it came out like toward the very end of the NES's lifespan, which is also why it's so rare. It came out in 1993, so that's pretty deep. I don't know. It's probably the best side-scrolling beat-em-up for the NES, but I would hope it is, because it's probably the last side-scrolling beat-em-up ever released from the NES. So,
are you sure that Final Fight Streetwise is not the best in the series?
I saw some video of this Final Fight Streetwise. It's so weird. I never heard of it before this week. I'm not a Final Fight fanatic or anything, but you know, I pay attention to the news and the video game news and all that. And I've never even heard of Final Fight Streetwise until this week. And I watched some gameplay video, and it looks like it was their attempt at an open world sandbox, like Grand Theft Auto style game, and it just did not look fun at all.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. And that seems like it pretty much killed the series.
Okay. Yeah. Like, characters have popped up in other games, but in today's times, when pretty much everything is getting revived, I couldn't find much on the old Final Fantasy, Final Fight being brought back.
I've never heard of Final Fantasy.
Ah! I almost made it through this whole show. Almost. That's the other thing. I mentioned last week when we went offline that I would constantly mix up Final Fight and Final Fantasy growing up because they were next to each other in the rental store.
At my old rental store, I would peruse and always, you know, I played my Final Fantasies, but I like to just look at the boxes whenever I'm at stores.
Yeah.
And right next to it is that Final Fight game.
Yeah.
So and close in name.
I would always get excited. I'd be like, oh, man, is this? No, it's Final Fight, not Final Fantasy. So close, yet so far. Anyways, there's also, like, limit. There's, like, Final Fight fan games that are out there and that kind of thing. Final Fight Alpha. But none have been given the official Capcom kiss of approval. So,
from what I have also seen in reviews, the definitive version, if you're going to play some Final Fights, the definitive version you want to get is on the Game Boy Advance, because it adds back in the three selectable characters, adds in some unlockables and some secrets. So that seems to be the one to get.
Yes, I would agree with that. It also helps that one is pretty affordable. It's $15. So, whip out that GBA or your DS and get to playing. Yul, did you have anything else you want to say about the old Final Fights here?
Well, as I was playing it as Hagar specifically.
Hagar the Horrible.
Not the Viking. I realized that this is just a Brock Lesnar simulator. So you're just a large white man with a huge upper body, suplexing people, punching people repeatedly. It's a better wrestling game than a lot of wrestling games, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would say it's so. Yeah.
There's some good combos and good moves in here.
Definitely more fun than in those early NES and Super Nintendo wrestling games?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you're taking people to Suplex City here, like over and over.
It's fantastic. They should have put some folding chairs in this game.
Well, you can get a pipe at some point. I got pretty far with a pipe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's some good weapons, too. But yeah, I was surprised by the moveset and the combos in this. It's fun. Because usually in beat-em-ups, they're like impossible to pull off. But they kept it simple in this.
Yeah, you basically just gotta jam on that button. And you kind of go through various fight moves there.
Yeah, and one of the worst parts of like 2D side scrollers is when there's a grab button. But in this, if you just walk into someone, you grab them automatically, and then you can just start headbutting them and suplexing them and stuff.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I always miss with the grab button. I never time it right. So if you just with this, it's just an auto grab, and then you're just pounding away.
Yeah. And especially with Hagar, you got to use the grab and pile drive and suplex people to like control crowds.
Right.
Because if you jump in the air and suplex people, it knocks down other enemies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has a sweet drop kick too.
Yeah, because otherwise he's a little slower than Cody and Guy and can't fight as well.
Mm-hmm. He also has a pretty good, not quite airplane spin, but he just spins around with his fists out like a 10-year-old fighting with her brother. And he can knock some people down too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like the moves in this.
Todd, what do you think of this one? Any last words?
No. Pick it up. It's a good beat 'em up. Good. It's a good kind of stress reliever kind of game.
Yeah. Yeah, you can easily kick the crap out of like 15 people in minutes.
Mm-hmm. All right, then let's move right along to the email portion of the show then. Todd, did you receive any emails?
I did.
Oh.
I did. It's a quick one. Short little email. And they write, "Hey, you fellas. I heard from the snifferoo last week you were covering my game. I'm sure it will be a treat. Say, what's with all these emailers with fake-sounding names? Your pal, Joey Capcoms."
Wow. Well,
yeah. That sounds like an attack on us.
It does, yeah. I mean, he's directly, deliberately attacking the listeners of the show.
The listeners and hosts of this podcast. Yeah. And I refuse to answer this question on principle.
I'll answer it and just say that, people don't choose their own names. God chooses their name for them. So it's wrong to criticize that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, powerful so take message. Take that, Joey Capcoms.
Yeah. Huel, did you receive any mails this week?
Yes. I had one email that I received, and it is from very real sounding name, Scootabout 42.
Scooty.
So, Scoot.
Scoots writes in, "Dear YPB boys with an S, Cooter Slut doesn't impress me anymore. She can stop trying. I've gone on to bigger and better things." Studio audience reacted hard to that one. Inspired by last week's episode, I entered an underground rap battle yesterday. And by underground, I mean it was in the subway. I can only find one other guy to rap battle, though. I nicknamed him the Boxer, because when I found him down there, he was sleeping in a box. I spit my rhymes mad fast, and when I was done, he looked confused and angry. He was so blown away, he couldn't even respond. I destroyed him. I was victorious. Yeah, Cootie doesn't know what she's missing. Anyway, what's up with the Nintendo Switch? Sincerely, Funky Fresh Scooter Butt 42.
Oh.
He's giving himself a little nickname there.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's frowned upon, but...
Huh.
So he must have seen a Subway ad or maybe a mailer on the ground for the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. It's almost like he's asking, what's the deal?
What is the deal? Is it a game? Is it a controller?
Yeah. Is it a hand? Is that a handheld? Is it a console?
Is it a console? What do you do?
I don't know. To me, it's Nintendo's latest device to play Zelda and Mario and a bad Metroid game on.
And card. get my card on.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that's just Nintendo being Nintendo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Trying to do wacky things to get people talking, but in the end, it's just going to have some good games on it, some bad games.
Yeah. That Zelda, though.
Yeah, you can always rely on a Zelda or a Mario or a cart to get you through it. Make it worth the purchase price.
That Zelda looks good.
Oh, for sure. I just don't get their insistence on needing to do something wacky every time. Like, they know their games are good. They don't need all this insanity.
Mm-hmm. I almost think that at this point, it just seems like an intentional FU to third-party developers. Like, no, we're just going to do this thing that, you know, really we're going to be the only people who really know how to maximize this hardware. So, you know, we're going to be fine. You know, we might lose a bunch of money on hardware, but it doesn't matter. We're going to sell, like, a copy of every Mario game to every single person who owns this console, and you know, we'll be straight.
No, I'm not saying it'll fail. It just seems to be they're intentionally making it difficult.
Yes.
When they could just have a console that doesn't turn people off, that isn't in 14 pieces that you have to put together and take apart and carry around. Like it's a great concept, but like I don't know if we're there yet. They're always like a step or two ahead of where things are going to be. And I guess someone needs to do it. Someone needs to do it first. Mm-hmm. So it's like a tablet console. It's like they already tried the tablet controller. Then they just said, well, no one liked that. So let's put the whole thing in the tablet. And I'm like,
yeah, all this thing.
No
looks
one liked
like
the
is,
Wii U. It's crazy.
It looks like a system that is that my kids can lose.
Yeah, there's so many parts to lose on this thing. That is a key part here.
God, and by the way, extra controllers will run you $70, apparently.
Right. No one ever plays in the same place anymore. You just play online.
Yeah, but if... Like, part of the fun of the Wii was the fact that it was kind of a... Like, a cool little system that was for casual gamers. Like, you can invite over your friends or your family member who doesn't really like games that much and actually play something with them. Whereas I think when I look at the Switch, I'm like, oh yeah, that seems like it could be a selling point, except that, you know, you're not going to buy $70 controllers. You're going to keep the one or two the system comes with. So.
No, that's true.
I mean,
so I guess
N64 controllers, I think, were $15 each for an extra one. So
I don't know how much they were. Is it on a first party or like Mad Cats?
I have three of them. I think I may have four of them, but so they had to have been cheap, and they're all the official ones too. They're not
right. The
knockoffs.
Yeah, but I mean that was back in the day and everything.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just the fact that the controllers cost $70 each, and
that's the least of my hang-ups.
I mean, they still haven't fixed the online component thing. I think you still have to have like friends codes and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that was so annoying.
And they apparently they're going to charge for the online access like more than Sony and Xbox do, and also, by the way, the system is underpowered compared to the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, never mind, you know, the PS4 Pro and that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. It's just Nintendo being Nintendo.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They have no intention in making it easy for anyone. It's like, all right.
Yeah. I might buy one eventually when it like gets cheap, like under $200. Because at that point, you know, a new I honestly haven't gotten into the Marios and the Zeldas, the newer games, for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I'm jonesing a little bit, but there's just so much out there.
Yeah, the new South Park game and Mass Effect are going to drop like at the same time, and yeah. Like, I could probably ride out the wave until I need to play Zelda again with those.
Yeah.
Although, it is tough for me to just not play Zelda when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I've gotten every one up until now, like as soon as it dropped.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm new system ready.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, just in case you were thinking of buying or pre-ordering one, too late. It's like the NES Classic.
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo has already, they've produced their quota for opening day of about 750 systems, and they will not be selling any more. They're just
Is it actually 750?
No, but the fact that
like,
you
there's
had,
no way.
The fact that you had to question it is not a great sign.
Like, that kind of was almost believable. Just the way they've been doing
This is weird because I saw a press release statement thing with the North American Reggie, whoever the North American guy is,
and Reggie Philamine,
yeah, he said that there would not be a shortage for Switches. They were overproducing.
Maybe by their standards, but
yeah. And by the way, that new Zelda game. It's coming out on Wii U, so there you go. Problem solved.
I don't have a Wii U. I refuse to buy one.
Problem solved.
All right, fine.
Yeah, listen, I'm not buying a $150 paperweight that can also play Zelda.
Like, I was almost going to buy the Wii U when, like, the Zelda was first, like, announced and coming out until I realized it was going to come out on the NX or whatever. So I was like, that's the only reason I would have bought a Wii U, so now I'm just going to say goodbye to that console.
Mm-hmm.
Problem unsolved.
Yep, according to Polygon, GameStop has gone through all of its initial allotment of Switches, like pre-orders. Mm-hmm. And no other retailers are doing pre-orders. Thanks to the fun they had with the NES Classic.
Yeah, I'll just wait 2 months and then see if it's still around.
And apparently they had problems with the Wii U as well. The Wii U sold 400,000 pre-orders, and which was short 250,000 of people on the list. And then that's probably all they sold. So,
yeah, I think the pre-orders was it. That was their limit.
Yeah. Well, so I think we really solved Scooter Butt's problem there.
Yeah.
Buy the Switch if you want Zelda and have lots of disposable income. If you have any other systems, you can probably wait a little bit.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. I received one email this week. Your parents' basement. I'm diplomat Mark Wilfred. I've been trying to reach you for about an hour now just to inform you about my successful arrival at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, Texas, with your two boxes of consignment box worth $9.5 million, which I have been instructed by ECOWAS Courier Delivery Company to be delivered to you. The airport authority demanded for all of the legal backup papers to prove to them that the fund is in no way related with drug money. Also, do you guys have any interesting games like Firewatch and Steep where you wander around?
Okay. Mm. I don't know what those games are.
That's all from the diplomat.
Yeah. I do know those games. They're indie darlings on the PC.
I had a feeling.
Indie darlings. The genre is called Walking Simulator.
Oh.
Or Story-Driven Walking Simulator. Basically, it's a narrative story. You wander around some path or some open area, and there's a narrative that goes on while you're walking around, telling, revealing the events.
Okay.
They're interesting. They're good for a quick playthrough. They're not my go-to series. I mean, it's no Crusader Kings or anything. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
There's a furry Game of Thrones.
I'll pick them up if they're in a bundle. I'll pick them up and play them.
So it's just a story. You're just listening to a story. It's like an audiobook.
Pretty much. There's some have interactivity, like you have to find items and stuff, but it's not about the combat. It's not about platforming. It's just about walking around and exploring.
Yeah, I think there's an avenue for those kind of games. Like you said, it's just for a quick run through. And yeah. I guess some people get mad that they're even called games at all. Like, maybe they should just be called their own kind of thing, like video book or something. I don't know.
I'll give Firewatch a play at some point. Like, I'm intrigued enough that I'll scoop it up when it's on one of them discount sales or Humble Bundle or something like that.
Firewatch has been getting high praise out of the entire genre of these walking simulators. Firewatch is the most praised.
Yeah, but I think Steep is the one where it's just you're exploring like a mountain or something, and there is no, like, plot. You're just exploring the mountain, doing some tricks on your snowboard and that kind of stuff. And I'm not so into that.
Not into fun or action.
No.
Give me that walking.
I want races or stuff like that.
I think I found a better genre name in video book than walking simulator.
Oh. What's that?
I just said it.
Oh, a video book. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were referring to the publication video book.
No, is that a thing?
No, maybe, but it sounds like it could be.
What are you talking about?
You know, a game that is a indie darling walking simulator. It's one of Steve's joints that he's into.
Oh.
Gone Home is considered a walking simulator.
The same genre. Yeah, that had a bit of puzzling, a little bit, mostly just to get to the next plot point, I guess.
Yeah, and I also feel like that's, you're only in like one house the entire time too. Whereas,
and the garage,
I guess my mind is kind of jogged on the achievement oriented podcast this week. They had a guy whose goal is he runs a YouTube account called How Big Is the Map, where all he does is walk from one end of the map in games to the other end and just explores like the scenery of games.
Ugh.
And I was like, on one hand I was like, oh my god, that sounds horrible, but on the other end he was like, oh yeah, there's naked ladies in Daggerfall that you can find.
Now you're interested.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. So, anyways, that's all I had.
Okay.
At least for emails. Todd, did you receive any Ask the Sweet Boys this week?
Oh, I did. I got an ask. So let us ask the Sweet Boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write into us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with the subject ask, followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. And this ask comes from Anonymous. And he, I'm assuming he, asks, got kicked in the balls extremely hard 2 hours ago, ? I got kicked extremely hard in the balls today by some lady, and I was wondering if there is anything I can do to relieve the pain.
Oh. How long? 2 hours?
2 hours ago. But this ask came in 3 weeks ago.
Right. Okay. Well, I can only assume they're still hurting. I mean, it's a sensitive area.
Mm-hmm.
Relieve the pain? I guess just boil up a pot of water really hot.
Ooh.
And stick your hand in there.
Ah.
That way your hand will hurt worse than your balls.
The old bait and switch maneuver.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. Trick that brain.
Yeah. I'm going to do a little tip that gets me through a lot of hard spots. It's called hair of the dog. And what that means is you go and get a broom and hit yourself in your testicles again.
I don't know if that'll work.
Oh. Yikes.
Or maybe just like a lighter tap. Because, I mean, the hair of the dog...
You're not going all out again. No, you're not repeating what happened.
You just got to, like, recharge and, like, get yourself back in an even keel.
Exactly.
So you're just like a little taparoo to the downstairs. That might just even things out.
Hmm. I would just say, what about a nice walk through nature? Maybe that'll help you. You know, just get your mind off it.
Fire up one of those walking simulators.
Just
take a look around.
Yeah, real or fake nature.
Right.
Either one.
I mean, you might not want to go outside again and might run into this lady.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was completely unjustified what she did.
Or maybe to go a different way here, why don't you get one of them VR machines and then you'll have some nice virtual balls that won't ache.
Oh.
You can do whatever you want with them in VR.
And I mean whatever you want.
Yeah. And to, you know, you can do it to Kirby. You can do it to Bandicoot Foxes.
Hubert.
Yeah. Any video game character. Or at least that's what Pippin tells me.
Mm-hmm. Even though I don't want him to. He will tell me.
Even though I begged him many times not to.
Please, still not again.
He writes in every week about what he's done to Kirby.
Oh, no.
he's going right to the spam folder.
I hope Kirby is consenting in these scenarios.
Well, oh, God.
At least it's virtual.
Yeah. Anyways, I think we helped another person right there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So on that note, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
I want to stay here with you, Jessica, but I can't. Not while evil still stalks the streets.
Oh, boy. Oh, Cody. All right. And Todd, did you have anything else to add tonight?
No. If you wanna something to do tonight, go look on DeviantArt for some pictures of Poison and Roxy. That's what I'll be doing.
Oh boy.
Yeah, well, do like hot dames, so that doesn't surprise me at all, Todd. On that note, let's play ourselves out here with a little snifferoo from next week's game. We will be joined by a returning special guest.